Welcome back to the Football Kingdom Podcast. I am Tyler Mallon, and I'm joined by Brandon Johnson. How's it going, Brandon?
Going well.
I am excited to get into the off season. It's been a couple weeks since we've been on here, so excited to get back to it.
Yeah, it has been a few weeks. I'm going to try the hosting chair, mix it up, and let's get started with some recent news. We're going to get into some Chiefs talk at the end. Let's start with Mike Evans. He's re-signing with the Bucs. Kind of sucks for the Chiefs a little bit. I thought it was a little unrealistic that the Chiefs could somehow snag him. It's more of a pipe dream of like, that would be awesome. And didn't happen. I'm a little shocked that he stuck around. He's already won a ring, so I guess other, you know, kind of people have said, like, you know, once you kind of won one, you kind of stick with your home team sometimes, and I think he kind of gave them a hometown discount as well, but I'm like, man, he could have demanded maybe a lot from the Chiefs and still been on a really good, you know, Super Bowl contender as well.
Yeah, definitely the Chiefs fan in me was sad to see him come off the board, but it's great for the Bucks and it's great for football, honestly, that top of the line free agent like a Mike Evans can stay with his team and doesn't go to, you know, as much as I wanted him to go to the Chiefs. Like, in a baseball analogy, like, Mike Evans would have gone to the Dodgers and we would have all been upset about it. So it's nice to see him stay home. And I think for him staying in Tampa, like, Florida doesn't have the income tax on, right? They don't have state income tax. So that's probably very attractive for him to stay.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he probably doesn't want to move his family and all that. And, you know, at this point, I'm assuming that they're going to re-sign Baker, you know, because I can't imagine that he would stick around if he didn't know that Baker's staying there, because I don't, it's hard to say, but unless they move way up or something and get a rookie or something, I would have to imagine that Baker's sticking around too.
I would think that's the plan as well.
Also, Jason Kelce retired, which was one of the most epic, like, 35-minute press conferences. Didn't watch it all. Saw some highlights. But, of course, he's Jason Kelce. He's got a sleeveless shirt and flip-flops. And Travis was there, his mom and dad. Very emotional. It was really cool. He said some really awesome things, you know, about his team, about their Super Bowl win, but just an absolute, like, first ballot Hall of Fame type guy who the Chiefs are, you know, they're going to, the Chiefs fandom has really adopted him, and he's, you know, obviously a huge supporter of Travis, and much, much respect for that guy to move on. I'm actually, again, a little shocked he didn't run it back one more time. You know, I'm not really sure what the situation is there with Nick Sirianni sticking around, if players actually believe in this guy, but I thought for sure he was going to come back.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of the fence on that. I wasn't shocked that he decided to retire. I know that there were reports pretty much right after, I think, the Eagles lost in the playoffs that he was going to retire, and I just feel like He's in his mid-30s and married, has kids, still relatively healthy, and has made money, has won a ring, has a very successful podcast with Travis, that he's going to be fine and still be very connected to the game in one sense or another. So, not surprised, but, you know, NFL lost a great player in this retirement, but And it's crazy, like, as far as linemen go, offensive linemen, you're like, oh, if any other player retires, you're like, okay, I don't even know who that was. But, like, everybody knows who Jason Kelce was.
Yes.
So.
Right. Yeah, that there it is again, though. Like, that you win a ring and you kind of, you can make, you know, a different choice than what people would generally think you would make. And I think I'm a little surprised because he really wasn't in a decline year. You know, he's still just so good. And they were so close, you know, last year or the year prior. And then this year they just kind of fell apart. It was very weird, you know, what happened to that team. But I figured they have all the pieces to go and absolutely win, you know. So somewhat sad moment, but also pretty cool for him and Travis, because guy is insane. And yeah, I think you really nailed, I think probably what makes the most sense is, like, he's healthy and it's like, let's get out on top, you know. Probably doesn't need another ring. That probably doesn't really make as much a difference for him. And everything he's got going on really goes toward that. Jumping over again, we'll go to the Broncos releasing Danger Russ Wilson.
Mr. Unlimited.
Unlimited. Broncos punch. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, boy. So, here we go. Russell Wilson. There's a lot to unpack here. We'll cover it a little bit, but his team tried to push him out. I even saw some theories of, like, when Sean Payton was, like, you know, in his face, like, yelling at him, like, they were trying to get him to, you know, yell back, essentially, so they could, you know, cut half his contract in half, because they could do is, like, bench him for detrimental, what, I can't remember the phrase.
Like, was it like conduct detrimental to the team, yes, or something?
That's it. And I'm like, I don't know if I really believe that, but they also asked the dude to, like, remove his injury stuff and save them some money, and he's like, I ain't doing that, you know? And that's where I respect the hell out of him, because he was like, I'm not going to set a precedent for other players, you know, to do that for their team. He's like, that's, yeah, I know. So that I really liked hearing him. He did an interview with Brandon Marshall and talked a lot of behind the scenes stuff. But I really liked hearing. He's like, listen, I'm not going to compromise, you know, other players and their futures and their money by doing that. And he shouldn't have anyway. You know, it's not like he's a, you know, made a huge choice there, but. Yeah, they cut him. They're going to lose, or they're stuck with $85 million in dead cap space for the next 2 years. It's okay. I never believed in Russell Wilson going to the Broncos. I didn't think he was a threat as far as, you know, the Chiefs are concerned. You know, I don't know if, you know, I think he wasn't going to change anything, but I thought for sure it's everybody was, like, over, you know, analyzing, like, oh, well, it's Russell Wilson and Sean Payton and all this. And I never believed in Russell Wilson.
So I'm with you. I think, like, you have Seattle would not just willingly walk away from, at that time, a Hall of Fame quarterback without there being some sort of reason as to why they did. And I think everything that we kind of saw with Russell Wilson, you know, on the field and off the field, in the locker room, all that, you know, nonsense that he was kind of attached to, yeah, like, it makes sense. But what, for me, like, what was so bizarre about this trade was the extension, yes, that he signed with the team. The Broncos had 2 years of control. They didn't have to extend him. And so Matt Verderam tweeted, the Russell Wilson trade becomes one of the worst of all time, which is true. The Broncos gave Wilson a 5-year, $245 million extension. He never played a down of that contract extension.
Oh, wow.
And that's, you know, part of why you're seeing the $85 million in dead cap, which is far and away like the biggest like dead cap hit. It's like double. I think Matt Ryan was like $40 million or something. But it's really bad. And now the Broncos are going to have to go and get a quarterback in this draft. And they're going to have to start over. Really bad.
Which, that in itself is not terrible for Sean Payton. But they're in cap hell, probably. Yeah, they really set themselves up for failure. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett was a disaster, you know, and he he basically let Russell Wilson, and this is why, you know, I said earlier, like, I respect the hell out of him for making that type of choice, but I'm also like, Russell Wilson is just a robot of a human being to me. he's such a weird dude. I've never really liked him, you know. I liked him on the field. He's an extremely good quarterback. But he's just a very strange guy. Like, he had his own office, you know, and it's like, what player has their own office on a football team? It's just a very weird guy, very weird circumstance. Sean Payton obviously went in and cleaned it up, but then he had these like really weird games where he's like really good and then awful. And then they tried to cut him and all this and, you know, or cut his contract anyway, but
yeah, and he'll have, Russell Wilson will have people that'll want to have him on their team because he's going to be super cheap. And you're going to have teams like the Steelers, the Patriots, the Falcons, Titans. Like, there's teams that need a quarterback that could go and get a Russell Wilson on a very, very team-friendly deal just because the Broncos still owe him a lot of money.
So, yeah, there's something I read today that, like, he could take league minimum and, like, the Broncos would still be on the bill for, like, all of that dead stuff. Mm-hmm. So he could still be on another team either starting or, you know, being a backup and helping a team out, and like this might motivate him to make somebody else better, you know, if he doesn't get a starting job. So I don't know. Broncos, good for us, good for the Chiefs, I should say, not us, but yeah, let's move over to some not anything definitive. There's still some stuff up in the air, but there's been some talk about rule changes. I wanted to kind of throw some stuff out there that I thought was pretty interesting. There's been talk about removing the chain gang from like first downs and stuff, like measuring like with physical chains on the field, and they're calling this thing optical tracking. Not really sure how it works, but it's an interesting, you know, it feels to me almost like a robo ump, you know, equivalent. You know, where they're like tracking, I don't know if there's like a chip or if it's all camera, you know, done. And apparently they've tested it on a couple games this year, you know, kind of in the background. And I don't know, it looks like it's had some success. So I don't know if we're going to see it next year or anything, but it sounds like they're going to probably run both at once at some point and then get rid of the chain gang altogether, you know, at some point.
It is surprising to me that going into the 2024 season, they still use the chains to measure first downs.
Yes.
Like, with all of the technology that they use, like thinking of like the next gen stats and just all of the data that's available to them, I don't understand why they're just now potentially trying to move away from that.
Yeah, I agree. I've always thought that they just like throw a little chip in there and then kind of match it up with camera angles maybe. And because, man, I can think of two plays this year that the Chiefs failed to convert first downs on. And if they would have just challenged the play, it was a first down, or one of the two plays. And I think there was even three of them where I'm like, if you challenge, you're either going to get a first down or you're like a yard closer or a yard and a half closer. Like, that's just Chiefs games, you know, like three instances of plays where I'm like, this is a really, like, you know, big moment, challenge the play. Like, we're going to get a first down here, you know, and then they don't. And then they, of course, they have their short game troubles. But, yeah, my point is that's the refs not placing the ball where the, you know, the play ended. Like, they were way off. And we've seen some egregious stuff. And again, that's, it's human error. You know, the you know, refs aren't perfect, but
yeah, because I almost wonder,
technology could help.
I almost wonder, like, just kind of backtracking what I just said, but I almost wonder if you can even really get rid of the chains, because you need the players to obviously have that visual. And you, like,
well, yes, you could still have them, but they're not like the official measurement.
Right.
They're there to show, like, what is the official line. You know, I always thought it would be cool to, as you're watching football, like, instead of it be a line, like, it could be, they could show, like, a little, almost like an opaque wall, like, whenever they try to break the plane, so you could see it better, like, visually. It's more of a graphics thing, but something more for the viewer. I've always thought, like, you know, they draw a line, why not make a whole wall, you know, when it is an end zone thing. But anyway, yeah, fumbling through the end zone, don't think that's happening anytime soon. There was talks about it's only happened like 4 out of however many 1,000 plays or 100 plays in the last couple years or whatever it is, or my last year, I guess. And they're like, basically the rules committee were like, this is not a big deal, let's move on. And that was it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's a rule that you don't really care about unless it happens to your team. And that's really what it is. Not enough. And also not enough people like hate it for them to, to move it.
It is a weird one, because so many people, I think they overreact, and not in the way of like the outcome of the rule. I think people think more people are outraged than they actually are. My thing is, it's a weird rule to like completely lose the possession on such like a, you know, like a almost a random event where you're like, well, the ball, it's a football, like that's what's it's exciting. The ball can bounce in any direction. What the rules committee was saying is like, hey, protect the, like the offense needs to protect the ball better. You know, that's what it comes down to. We move on basically. So.
Yeah.
They're looking at the hip drop tackle. We talked about that. A couple people got hurt on that. It does look like they're actually looking into this, but they're trying to word it correctly, like how to actually enforce it and how to name it. But that one, it does sound like that one is actually getting some serious consideration to actually get an actual rule in place.
Yeah. I would think out of everything on the list that the competition committee is looking at, the hip drop tackle, either banning it or changing some sort of rules and regulations surrounding the hip drop tackle, I think that would be the one that we see a change heading into next year.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple primetime games that I watched where it was an obvious, like, two people, I think it was even the Eagles. Yeah, I think there was, like, it was an Eagles game. And Jalen even, he got hurt for, like, a play or something, and it was a hip drop. Like, one of his other guys had gotten hurt earlier in the game.
Yep.
And I think it was a tight end got, it was Mark Andrews. Maybe that was how he got injured. I don't remember. But anyway, they're looking at that. The other big thing is kickoff and onside kicks. Some pretty weird stuff going on, but apparently kickoffs are super boring, and I don't know. I think it's fine. I think it's football. I don't think, from what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like they want to keep, you know, the kickoffs and field goals and everything in the game. It's a part of football, but there's some weird stuff with, you know, just the normal kickoffs of like, I think what they're trying to do is have more returns.
They're trying to incentivize returns is exactly what they're doing.
Right. So they're saying like they could start on the 40, kick it off from the 40, and the other team would be on their 35. And then if it's a touchback, then that the receiving team gets starts the ball on the 35-yard line. So you're now you're basically like, don't kick it out of the back of the end zone every time, because that's all that we do anyway. If you do that, the other team's getting on the 35. So kick it in bounds, make it returnable, basically, is what they're saying. And then we go from there, which I don't necessarily hate.
So what I think they could do to incentivize returns is, like, that is one of them. Like, okay, stop kicking the ball through the uprights if you're the kicker.
Yeah.
And let them... And if that's how the touchback happens, yeah, put it on the 30 or 35. But
right.
Or you could make it returnable, get good at kicking it to the back of the end zone. And if the player kneels for a touchback, they get the ball at the 20.
Okay.
To incentivize them to come out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you can kneel it, but you're not going to get it at the 25 like you typically would. You're only going to get it at the 20. They could do that.
That's a good idea.
But this whole, like, all of this changed whenever they made it to where the kicking team couldn't get a running start.
Yeah.
And now they're like, well, kickoffs suck. I'm like, yeah, they suck because you took all the fun out of it. And yeah, I'm not advocating always, for bringing that back. But
yeah, it was always about injuries. You know, it only ever changed because of that, just like onside kicks, which we'll cover in a second. But I think there was one other, like, neither team can move until the ball is away or something. I think that was one other stipulation. But again, I think we'll know about this stuff in either a few weeks or a few months, but there's pretty interesting stuff. The other thing was the onside kicks. Because they're, like, so unsuccessful, there's just some weird stuff of, like, you could do onside kick normally. I don't think that's going to change, but if you're trailing in the fourth quarter, there could be, like, a new formation where it's, like, one side of the field has 6 versus 4. It's some sort of weird formation like that. So it's better, it's more easily recoverable. I don't know what I think about that. I'd have to see that in play. There's talks of, like, XFL rules about kickoffs and stuff. And again, this is all early stuff, but I don't know. That's some pretty weird stuff that they're talking about. Yeah,
I mean, I'm all for them trying to make it to where onside kicks can have a little bit of a higher success rate, because they right now they just aren't, based off of how you are required to line up. So yeah, I think they should do something with it, and I hope that we see some sort of change with that and with kickoffs in general, honestly. So good, interesting stuff that they're looking at.
I don't want them to overcorrect and it become like some weird, like, tush push situation, you know what I mean, where, like, they're so successful and it just flips games. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
the six versus four thing, I'm like, well, that sounds way unfair. Like, I let's keep it, you know, I don't want people getting hurt. It sounds like that they're still steering it in that direction, you know, and it could be pretty exciting, but I'm hesitant to be like, I don't want it to be a huge overcorrection either.
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned the tush push, because last year we thought, like, this was going to be the talk of the town for the competition committee, but then we learned, like, the Eagles are the only team that really seemingly had a lot of success with it. So
Right. They're
not even talking about it now. They're like, well, it must not be that great. So
yeah, I think it was brought up, but there was, like, there wasn't, you know, hardly any direct injuries related to it. There was talk of, like, well, they could go super low and their head first and all this, but there wasn't any, you know, stats to back up, like, oh, it's dangerous other plays.
Yeah.
You know,
my beef with it was that it was boring.
Yeah.
Like, it's lame.
Well, it's a rugby play. It's not necessarily an NFL play. So, and really, that's the other thing where I'm like, with Kelce out of the league, I don't think it's going to be as successful, because everyone who's ever played the game are like, it's successful because of Jason Kelce, or it's as successful for the Eagles. Like, it's because of him most of the time. So, I don't know. Well, let's talk about AFC West coaches. Move away from news and kind of talk about the coaching changes that have happened that are here in the AFC West. Chargers signed Jim Harbaugh this offseason, or was it? It was before the Super Bowl when they announced that.
Yeah, I think it was right before the Super Bowl.
Something like that. I find this interesting. I don't know. Jim Harbaugh, clearly a great head coach. Super. I think he won the championship in college. I don't watch college football.
Yeah, yeah. He won the national championship with Michigan this offseason, or this season.
So, I don't know what your thoughts on him are and how much more dangerous he potentially makes the Chargers. I think he's going to be a lot better than every other coach they've had in the Mahomes era, but I also remember him always battling ownership. You know what I mean? He's kind of a wild card. He's kind of a crazy man on the field. He's got the wild eyes. He goes crazy against the refs. You know, he kind of loses it, you know, in my opinion, on the field a lot of the times. But he was kind of a QB whisperer, you know. He had Kaepernick, you know, he took him to the Super Bowl, and
that was really the only success that Kaepernick had. Was
well, yes, but he's had some success with some, you know, other QBs.
I mean, look what he did for Alex Smith.
That was the other guy. Yeah. So there is some, you know, there's a lot of potential, but I'm also like, this is Jim Harbaugh who got himself out of the league, you know, because he can't get along with ownership. So it's like, I don't know. I think it's kind of a 50-50 of like, we'll kind of see what happens. I don't think it's just going to completely even out the Mahomes factor of it all and the Andy Reid factor of the AFC West, but I think it certainly makes them a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think you look at the AFC West and like the Broncos are obviously going to restart at the quarterback position. Don't really know what the Raiders are going to do. We'll talk about them in a second, obviously. But, you know, everybody's talked about like, oh, Justin Herbert is so great. He's so talented. And I believe that, but like, he doesn't have the resume to back that up. And for me to feel like he can be a real threat against Mahomes. And I think a lot of that probably had to do with the coaching that was around him.
Right.
It's pretty well documented how I felt about Brandon Staley all season long. I'm pretty sure I opened the first episode of our podcast with like, I don't think this guy's going to be here because he's a doofus. But bringing in Jim Harbaugh, who is, as you said, a proven winner everywhere he's gone, like, the Chargers just have to be better. Now, do I think that means that they're just going to, like, take over the AFC West and the Chiefs are going to have to play second fiddle? I don't. But I do feel as though, you know, maybe the Chargers will be a lot more interesting. And we'll have to be like, oh, the Chargers are chasing us a little bit. We got to make sure that we stay ahead of them. Because really all the Chargers have been to the Chiefs in the Justin Herbert era is they give the Chiefs everything they have for two games a season. And then they're bad for the other 14 games that they play or 15 games that they play. So can Jim Harbaugh make the Chargers good for an entire year rather than just against the Chiefs? That would be what's interesting to me. And I think that he can. I think that he'll bring stability to that franchise and make the AFC West more competitive and honestly more fun to watch.
And yeah, that's a really good point because, yeah, I think he probably will, because that is what I was going to say is the Chargers, they've always given the Chiefs really good games. You know, and that's what most teams do against the defending champions. You get everybody's best shot. The Chargers, especially, they've always been kind of instant classic games. You know, and they're not undefeated, you know, against the Chargers. But yeah, and I think you made a really good point there. Like they, that could be the difference of like, you know, that they, he, in that sense, in that point of like against the Chiefs, he could be the X factor that gives, gets him just a little bit over the hump. And then, you know, to beat, you know, Mahomes and the Chiefs, and then the rest of the season, yeah, he probably does make him a little more successful just overall. So let's move on to the Raiders. They hired their interim head coach, Antonio Pierce. I don't know. I don't know where to start with this. There's so many ways to go. So, but well, they fired Josh McDaniels, who kind of a goofball. Like he lost the team. We kind of already went over this stuff, or maybe I don't know. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. But I never really liked that guy. He gives off a weird vibe, especially with all the team that he. See, he was going to head coach for the Colts or whatever. Went back to the Patriots.
Yeah, he walked away from it. And he was already a failed head coach before that in Denver.
So. Right. Just a weirdo. But Antonio Pierce takes over. Pretty successful. He destroyed the Chargers in that, like, 70-point game or whatever that was.
Yeah.
You know, and then gave the, like, kicked the Chiefs in the butt. As Andy Reid put it, you know, in like a Super Bowl interview, or after they won the Super Bowl, he was like, "Yeah," he's like, "It wasn't that night, but it was a few days later where Andy Reid was saying, he's like, yeah, I thanked Antonio Pierce, you know, for you know hosting us, like their facilities were amazing, and he also thanked him for you know beating them as bad as they did in like Week 14 or whatever it was, and you know kind of woke up the Chiefs, but." You want to talk about the Mahomes rule?
So, I actually, Antonio Pierce is who the Raiders wanted, who the Raiders players wanted to be hired.
Yes.
So, it'll be interesting, but I think something that's funny about that Christmas Day game was, like, this is how unsuccessful the Raiders have been. They were, that was their Super Bowl, basically. They're like smoking cigars and celebrating in the locker room. Like, we just beat the Chiefs. And right. It's very, like, they did week five, 2019, I think, the John Gruden Raiders took the victory lap around Arrowhead after they beat him by double digit points. So it's like,
so dumb.
Yeah. You're so bad that a regular season victory is your Super Bowl. But no. I think he was on Max Crosby's podcast. Antonio Pierce started talking about like we have the blueprint for how to beat Patrick Mahomes, and it's just to go after him, and kind of the same as like how the Pistons had the Jordan rules and how they you know went after him, double teamed him, did all this stuff so he couldn't do anything. And we're gonna do that. We're just gonna go after Mahomes so he's not able to do. Anything at all. And I mean, whatever, if that's how you got to motivate yourself, I am not worried about the Antonio Pierce Raiders, but no. What I will be curious to see, like, since he said all this, like the Mahomes rules, is how those games are officiated.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're talking just short of bounty gate type of stuff.
Right.
Which is my concern.
You know, and he did. He, I thought about that too. Because he even said, and he immediately stepped it back, but he was like, you know, they start throwing elbows and kind of shouldering guys. And he was talking about, yeah, like you said, the Pistons and Michael Jordan, they were very physical with Jordan. You know, they were like, you're on our turf now. You know, we're going to be a little extra physical. We're going to throw elbows. You know, and he started to say, like, we're more physical with Mahomes and we're going to let him know, like, we're there, you know. But then he immediately was like, you know, he didn't continue that where he's like, we're going to rip your head off, like, do all the violent stuff, which he would probably get fined for, I would assume. But, yeah, I'm not as concerned. I thought about that, but I don't know. I think they played a very clean game, you know, this year. And... They were just, they completely out physicaled the Chiefs, you know, and it was a complete embarrassment. Like the offensive line was completely dominated, you know, by the Raiders, and Mahomes and company could not do anything, quite honestly. But yeah, I think, it's interesting that they might cross the line. I don't know. I think it would go against them, especially the way the Chiefs made other teams make those type of mistakes, and those type of penalties cost them pretty heavily. But as long as they're not hurting anybody, you know, we'll see. I was going to say, I don't think he's the right choice. I don't think he's that scary as a head coach necessarily, but because they kind of had some rough games with him as well, or a game or two. But I heard that Max Crosby was like, if we don't hire him as our head coach, I want to be traded. That to me rubbed me the wrong way. I took that and I'm like, that sounds very immature. And I'm like, I don't think, and I don't know why. It's just, to me, I thought Antonio Pierce isn't the guy. That for whatever reason, it should give me the opposite effect, but I'm like, I don't think this is the team. I don't think Antonio Pierce is going to be that great. And that's a really weird thing to stand on.
Hiring a coach that your players want,
yeah,
I feel like is always dicey. It's dicey because you kind of like, you don't want the players to be able to like run the locker room. You know what I mean? Like, it's a players' league, obviously, but like, you want the head coach to be the leader, the authority figure in the clubhouse. And I feel like handpicking a guy that your players want, it just, I don't know. It just seems like something that's not going to end well. But there's also a part of me that feels like the Raiders are trying to correct a mistake that they made, because whenever they let John Gruden go, they had Rick Bisaccia, who was their interim head coach and actually led them to the playoffs. And then they didn't hire him. Now, whether that would have, I can't really say whether or not Bisaccia would have been a good head coach. I don't know that much about him, but it just felt like, how do you not at least give a guy a flyer? And after bringing a team that was kind of a disaster into the playoffs, how do you not hire him? That doesn't make sense. Oh, because we're trying to do some sort of New England Patriots nonsense, and we're going to bring in Josh McDaniels. Oh, and we're going to bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Yeah. And
try to get Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is like, okay, we messed up on the last hire, and this guy can be good for us. He can bring some stability to our team, maybe reset the culture that the Las Vegas Raiders desperately need. And like, for me, like, I think more important than anything, that's like, obviously winning at the end of the day is what you want. But like, if somebody can come in and get like a good culture for that clubhouse, like, because there's been so many problems, players come in and out of there with like Chandler Jones, Henry Ruggs, is that his name? So many players that have come in, and like Antonio Brown with his freaking blistered feet.
That was.
Little bit of a mess of a franchise is all I'm saying. And I think having somebody come in that could just be like a stable voice and a leader will go a long way for them.
Yeah, and they're like a lot of teams. There's a lot of teams that they don't have any stability. You know, they've been running through either quarterbacks or coaches or ownership, and you can't do that. Like, you have to have, I mean, obviously, you have to have the right people, which is, you know, the hardest part to do, but, you know, something we should get in. This might be a topic for another off-season show, but, yeah, we should kind of talk about, like, how fast the turnover is for coaches. Because, I know you have a lot to say about that, because I think that might be a lot of these teams' problems. You know, they kind of have a bad culture, and then they don't get people, the right people in there to kind of fix it. So let's move on to the Chiefs. Both the Royals and the Chiefs are trying to get a vote passed. Brandon knows a heck of a lot more about this stuff than I do, because it has to do with both of the teams and some tax exemptions or some add-ons and stuff like that for either moving the stadium for the Royals and, you know, getting some tax dollars, some public tax dollars for some renovations for Arrowhead. It's pretty much a done deal. I mean, 100% the Royals are moving. You know, where, you know, that's going to happen, who knows? But they've got all sorts of, you know, just how old that Kauffman is. You know, they 100% have to move. They're trying to get a downtown stadium. Check out Brandon's baseball. This is baseball podcast for all that stuff. He's covering a lot of that. But yeah, the Chiefs did a press conference, and the parking lot looks nice. That's about it. The rest of the renovations do not inspire confidence and leave a lot to be desired, quite honestly. I don't really see how it would motivate anybody to vote yes for this thing, but you want to take over here?
So, yeah, I have a lot to say about this, and as Tyler said, I have been covering this on my podcast, This Is Baseball. Not a plug, but that's just where it's all been going on. And so...
it's a plug. Go listen.
A lot of the, you know, the Royals and the Chiefs are kind of married together. Hey, we're going to commit to Jackson County if you guys vote yes to extend the 3/8 cents sales tax on April 2nd. And there's been controversy about where the Royals have decided that they want to put their stadium. They want to put it in the Crossroads, basically directly across the street from T-Mobile Center. I personally think it's an amazing spot. I love the rendering and everything about it.
Yes.
I understand that there's concerns about businesses in that area losing their buildings and their spots. I get that, and that stinks. But I was enough about the Royals. I was hoping I could have gone on for another 15 minutes. I was hoping whenever the Chiefs did their press conference and did their presentation for their renderings and renovations to Arrowhead Stadium, that it was going to, like, this is going to move the needle for the people that don't like what the Royals have to say, because they're right. Like, oh, well, why would we do that if the Royals suck? Well, because the Chiefs don't suck, so we should do it for them. And unfortunately, like, their renovations were, like, essentially just to modernize Arrowhead. And a lot of it was like the Jumbotrons. They're like,
yeah,
the east one's going to be 4 times as big and the west one's 3 times as big, or vice versa. And I'm like, that's great, Mark Donovan, but you should have done that 15 years ago. Like, this shouldn't be part of your renovations. That should have just been something that you did. You know that you have an outdated video board and sound system. That shouldn't be part of this. That should have been done. Like, and also, the biggest kind of takeaways for it for me were, this is going to be an $800 million project, and the Chiefs were only going to cover $300 million. They weren't even going to cover half of it. And that's not very exciting to hear billionaires tell you that, hey, we're not even going to cover half of this thing. That's not exciting for anybody.
No. Go ahead.
You go ahead.
So the Royals, aren't they taking on a much larger... I mean, they're obviously building a whole new stadium, but they're taking on way more.
They're,
a third, like, or whatever.
Over $1 billion of their own investment, I think, is going into it. But obviously, a much larger project, yes.
Yes, yes.
But I'm like, you couldn't even cover half as the Chiefs?
Yeah.
This is the same day, by the way, that, and we don't even have this on the rundown, but this is the same day that the ownership grades came out from the Players Association.
Oh, yes.
And Clark Hunt got an F minus. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, let's get into that in just a second. I don't have a lot of notes on that, but we should say that the Chiefs and the Royals stadiums are right next to each other. For anybody listening to this who isn't a Kansas Cityan, they're in the same parking lot. It's a very weird setup. I don't know if any other teams are like that at all in the States or whatever, but
there are some, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I always thought it was a weird, you know, even as a kid, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. They're right there. But yeah, the obviously Kauffman would be tore down and they would get so much more space. So the Chiefs, you know, they showed, yeah, like those boards. All this stuff just felt like it was thrown in on top of everything else, because they're doing this, I forgot what it's called, but it's like end zone or Arrowhead end zone something. Like they're putting like end zone seating, which is cool, you know, for fans to be, because other stadiums, you know, especially modern stadiums, have people sitting right there over that little half wall. They're right on the field. That's awesome. I don't know if
it's going to be great. It's going to be great if you have 10 grand to throw away at a Chiefs game. Yep.
Yeah, you said it. You're like, I don't think I'll ever afford that, but I think it's awesome for people to be right there and for Chiefs to interact with fans right there. Like, that's kind of cool on the field. But past that, they're putting some, like a stage, like a concert stage out in the parking lot for parties and stuff. And I'm like, that's it? You know, it's like these... You know, what are we doing? So, there's nothing like for most of the fans. You know, not enough updating.
The renderings of the like tailgating section sitting where Kauffman is.
Yeah.
That's not even what lost me. What lost me was Mark Donovan was questioned about it. And Mark Donovan is the president of the Chiefs. They were asked, well, what about, like, I don't see any sort of like development around the area. Why aren't you doing that? And he straight up was like, it's not worth it. This area is not worth developing to us. And
right.
Which is like, you did not read your PR notes for that one. Cause he should have said something as simple as, you know, right now, that's not something that we're looking at, but it's something that we could potentially do in the future. It's just not something we're trying to do right now. And it would have been like, oh, okay. Even if he was like lying to their faces, it would have been better than, nah, this place sucks. We're not going to develop that. This place sucks. Because that's basically what he said. But yeah. No, it's just a glorified, like, and I know that's what renovations are, but it's just a modernization of the stadium. Right. It's, hey, our concourses are going to be able to go 360. You can walk all the way around them without getting to one and having to turn all the way around. They're going to cover the concourses, which is great. But there's some good things. It's just like when you had high expectations for what they were going to present, it was like it fell flat for me. But and you don't have to tell me. Like, I'm not trying to get you guys to vote any type of way. I'm a big yes on April 2nd for all of this, but we'll see.
Yep. Yeah. No, that kind of told me like, yeah, they're, when they asked him, like, you know, you're not like building up, you know, the surrounding area and the kind of culture and businesses and stuff like that, I'm like, how long are the Chiefs going to be at that location themselves?
I was talking with somebody about that today, and I'm like, well, these renovations, what do they get? Another 15, 20 years out of the stadium? And then 20 years from now, they're like, hey, we're ready to build a dome. Like,
right.
That's what's going to happen, right?
Right.
And that's potentially what could happen if you get a no on April 2nd is...
Yeah.
Maybe they're just like, okay, we won't renovate, and they just stay in Arrowhead. Or they're like, okay, well, we'll just go to Kansas and we'll put our stadium next to the Speedway and we'll build a state-of-the-art dome.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking, you know, Clark Hunt, like, where's the dome? You know, why wasn't that a part of the plan? And you know, he gave a very, you know, political, like, oh, well, it's this is how Arrowhead has always been, and that this is our part of our identity, you know, and you're like, well, we're not really going to get too many Super Bowls in Arrowhead without a dome when it's freezing.
Super Bowls, Final Fours.
Final Fours, yeah, yeah. So, well, crazy. We'll obviously cover that whenever it happens. You know, when's the vote? Is it, is the vote next month?
April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay. Yeah, we'll have some more to say on that whenever comes there. But let's talk about some players, free agents, franchise tags. I want to start with, obviously, who's gone right away that we know of. They released, I guess, officially, MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. This one's weird because... This is the same guy who had the game-sealing catch against the Ravens in the championship game.
Yep.
Is that right? Okay, sorry. Second-guessing myself. He had a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And, you know, so many drops. And just, you know, huge blunders in the regular season. And you're like, as a Chiefs fan, you're like, man, that's... We wouldn't have won the Super Bowl or gotten to and won the Super Bowl probably without him in a couple instances, but he was also never really that great, you know, as a Chief. He's, I would say, in my just straight up, like, I was very underwhelmed. I thought this was Aaron Rodgers' deep threat. Like, we're getting a great player. This is now Mahomes' deep threat. I was so excited, and he never lived up to that hype.
I will remember him like I remember Frank Clark. You are a very underwhelming regular season player, yeah. Frustrating at times, but everything you did in the playoffs, I'm grateful for, and it was worth it. But I'm not shocked that they moved on from him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair. I've just obviously seen the clip recently, but... It was one of those, I can't remember which game it was, but he had another big drop, and it was like in the tunnel, and he like hit his helmet against the wall, but like he hit like an actual Chiefs. It was either the Arrowhead logo or it was like, it said Chiefs. And I'm like, come on now. That's such a bad look. Like, I knew when I saw it, I'm like, it's going to stick in my head. That doesn't rub, you know, your fans the right way when you're playing like crap and then you're hitting, you know, the logo of your team. You know, as hard as you can, you know, walking down. I don't know. For some reason, that's probably going to stick in my head. But obviously, helped the Chiefs get there and win one. But they have moved on. So, interested to see where he ends up and if he somehow is a different player. I seriously doubt it. But the NFL, was it the deadline today for the franchise tag? Where they could actually do the, what's it called? The official, I can't remember the term of it.
You got this. And yes, it is the deadline for the franchise tag.
It was the deadline, but it was the, I can't remember. It was like the non-compete or I can't remember. I honestly don't even, there's like two or three different types of franchise tags, but. Anyways, Legarius Sneed is ours, and the weird thing is, well, I think the interesting thing is the Chiefs, they tagged him actually a while ago, like they announced this like a week or two ago, and then they immediately were like, you can go ahead and seek a trade. You know, it's like, we're going to tag you, we'll offer you a contract at some point, but if you want to go shop around... Go for it, because what will happen is if he goes and gets a trade and the Chiefs agree, they're going to get a pick out of that, compensatory pick. So I think it's obviously pretty smart. That, I think, also tells us that they'll probably are working on signing Chris Jones. So I feel like, or maybe not, I, you know, kind of new to all this kind of stuff, but
it's...
Well, I feel like if they were going to, if they're going to get something done with Chris, maybe the franchise tag would be higher if they tag Chris Jones.
Yeah, Chris Jones would be like the $30 or $32 million for franchise
tag. Because they tagged him last year.
Need, yeah.
Okay. So,
but it's hard to know with Chris Jones because last year you felt like we felt really good last year that they were going to get a long term deal done based on all of the reporting and everything we heard. We're like, oh, they're going to get him, and they obviously didn't. So I'm like, I'm going to take any reporting on Chris Jones, especially drunken Chris Jones at the parade. I'm not going anywhere.
Right. But,
like I'll believe it when I see it, or I'll see it when I believe it. As Patrick,
see it when I believe it.
But the Snead franchise tag is interesting as well. Not surprising, but I think the Chiefs kind of still have the control because they can keep him. Obviously, they could not trade him, and honestly, history would tell you that he's not going to get traded.
Okay.
Just because a lot, I think, I don't have it in front of me, but I think there's been like, there just hasn't been a lot of tagged players get traded recently. Okay. So, but they could also be like, oh, well, what are they going to offer you? And then they could just like, oh, we could offer you that. And if he wants to stay here, but I don't blame Snead for wanting to go and get paid. He is obviously one of the best corners in the league. He has 2 Super Bowl rings. Go get your money. Yeah. And I trust Brett Veach to go and plug that hole.
Right. That's what I was going to say about the franchise tag. Like maybe, you know, Veach does something. He's got something up his sleeve and he does, you know, trade a franchise player, a franchise tag player. But yeah, I mean, with Snead, he's arguably the best corner this year, considering that he helped his team in like, he was a huge part of the reason that his team went to and won a Super Bowl. Okay, so that alone, you know, he's already just, you know, play by play, game by game, he's just one of the better corners, you know, right now. And then for him to be that successful, you know, I can't imagine that he wouldn't get a huge payday. So be interesting to see like what actually happens here, you know, with the Chiefs with him, but they still got a lot of a depth, you know, which is why the defense is so good. There was a lot of, you know, injuries over the season for a couple games here and there, and they lost to Minshew in the playoffs, and they did just fine without, you know, a lot of these players. So, and you know, again with Chris Jones, not really sure. It's last year he sat out for 1 game or 2.
Is 1 game, yeah.
To get an extra $2 or $3 million or something like that. That's about all he did. And he watched the game like with his 2 goons. We already talked about that.
I can't believe he retained those agents.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, those guys are interesting. I don't even know what to say about them. They're just hilarious.
Right.
Like, this is not real.
No. Yeah, that's another one where, so from what I've heard, I think, I can't remember his name. Not Pelissero or Rap Sheet, the ESPN guy.
Schefter. Anyway,
yes, Adam Schefter. He was on McAfee's show saying that, like, yeah, they are working on a deal. And but that's about it. He's like, it sounds like they're getting close. You know, they are talking and stuff like that. But yeah, again, we saw what he did last year. So I don't know. Not really, you know, leaning out one way or the other. I would love, obviously, I think they want to sign him, but not a whole lot of facts that are out right now. So random cleanup. Chiefs signed Matt Azaria. How do you say that dude's name?
I think it's Matt Areza. You're thinking of like the Simpsons guy.
Matt. Oh, yeah. The voice actor, of course.
Yeah. Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria. There you go. Yeah. Matt Areza. This was the Buffalo punter that was in a pretty weird court case that I guess was proven that he was never even a part of. Not going to dive into that, but some false accusations, basically, by the end of the day. This guy apparently is, like, the greatest punter of all time, from what I'm hearing, of course. Now the Chiefs are all about him, and it's pretty weird that, you know, the circumstance of him leaving Buffalo makes sense. You know, they kind of had to, I think. But for the Chiefs to scoop him up, I'm not really sure how the Chiefs of all teams got this guy. Because Tommy Townsend, I guess this has been his worst statistical season. You know, he's really, like, he was number one and two in, like, all punting categories. And then this season, his averages were, like, in the 20th range. So I think Townsend's gone. Unfortunately, that beautiful hair is going to be off the field. And that great, his great first down fake punt throws, I'll definitely miss. But I think he'll be getting replaced.
Yeah, having Matt Araiza on the team, he's a great punter. I'm glad to see him get a second chance, because he obviously went through 16 months of being wrongfully accused of, you know, something he didn't do. Right. And yeah, it's just good to see, you know, him come out the other side of that victorious, and, you know, kind of cleared his name. And yeah, he gets a second chance at the NFL. And, you know, Tommy Townsend, he will go get paid, and he'll continue to be sunshine on somebody else's team.
All right, well, that is going to be it for us this week. Yeah, again, we're doing every other week at this point. We'll keep you up to date on any maybe surprise episodes. We got weird breaking news. Maybe we'll jump on real quick if Chris Jones gets signed, or, you know, something like that, or if there's a huge chunk of players. Don't know when we'll start hearing about that, but yeah, definitely hear from us. If not, yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. And yeah, go check out The Merge Feast, the other podcast on our network. It's awesome. Survivor. It's Brandon and two of his friends. If you're into Survivor, check it out. If not, start watching Survivor. Listen to this podcast. It's great. And we'll see you next week.